Welcome into a Monday edition of BBT. Today's pod is sponsored by the letter F, because there were a lot of four-letter words that started with F that rhymed with duck going around last night in my head watching yet another pathetic Green Bay Packer performance. And with that said, welcome in to today's Monday pod. We are going to be talking NFL today and a little bit of college basketball, as I witnessed my first Badger basketball game this weekend. Thank you to my aunt and uncle who took me. It was one of the greatest experiences that I've had in my 20-year life. But with that said, let's talk NFL. Now, before I get into trying to diagnose what the hell is going on with the Green Bay Packers, let's just take a look at the NFL playoff picture. First of all, I will be doing a podcast, a special one on Friday, to look at all of these games individually, but we're just going to right now run through the schedule of this weekend's games. The teams that did get the byes were New England, Denver, Carolina, and Arizona, if you did not know. But let's look at, first of all, Saturday's games, January 9th. We start off at 4:35 Eastern Time, 4:30 Central on ESPN. It's Kansas City versus Houston. That game intrigues me, but again, we'll talk about all the games for this weekend on Friday's special edition pod. And this night game, the nightcap of Saturday, January 9th, is the Steelers against the Bengals. That's probably my favorite game. Well, second favorite game of the weekend. Actually, I think it will be the best game of the weekend. Personally, I'm a little biased. I think that'll be the second best game of the weekend. And then Sunday, it starts at noon. Seattle goes to Minnesota because Minnesota won last night. We'll talk about that in a second. So Seattle will go to Minnesota Sunday at noon. That game will be on NBC. And then, of course, the most disappointing matchup of the entire playoffs. I don't know how it got the primetime game on Sunday, but what do I know? Green Bay at Washington, 3:30 on Fox. All right, so let's just talk about, first of all, before I get into the Packers, I want to just say Pittsburgh may be the luckiest team in the NFL. They're also one of the better playing teams in the NFL right now. They had very little business being in the playoffs. The Jets were rolling. The Jets had everything. They got a great defense. Their offense is good. Well, actually, it's really darn good. Ryan Fitzpatrick, that is, had the year of his life this past season. Of course, it helps when you got Brandon Marshall and Eric Decker to throw to. But the thing about Pittsburgh is they're more explosive, but I think the Jets are better. Jets are more complete. They're more well-rounded. I think they're better coached. Not to say Mike Tomlin is a bad coach. He's been to a Super Bowl. He knows how to coach. The thing, though, is that their defense, the defense for Pittsburgh, is not good.
Well, Alex, they only gave up 9 points yesterday to Cleveland.
I think it was 12, actually. But regardless, it's because Johnny Football was playing quarterback for Cleveland, whose top target is Gary Barnage, and whose top weapon overall is Isaiah Crowell. Good for you, Pittsburgh. You beat Cleveland. Hooray. But now, Pittsburgh's going to go into the playoffs limping a little bit because they don't have D'Angelo Williams. I watched that highlight yesterday of his ankle getting rolled. There's no way in God's green earth he can play this week. Unless he's Superman. Which he very well could be. NFL bodies seem to be fine. I was talking with somebody yesterday who pointed out that Eric Berry, a year ago, 1 year removed from having leukemia, is the starting safety in the Pro Bowl for the AFC. How cool is that, man? That's one of the greatest stories that no one's talking about. Leukemia, a year ago, Pro Bowler today. getting back to D'Angelo Williams. Now who's going to tote the rock for Pittsburgh? Regardless, you could throw names at me. Well, no, it doesn't matter. They have to go to Cincinnati against that defense. Even if D'Angelo Williams is playing, that's still a tough matchup. Big Ben's been a little banged up. Their receivers are the best in the league. We all know that by now. Bryant, Brown, even Wheaton, we all know. They're all good. They're the best core in the league. We know that. But Cincinnati's tough. They're winning games with A.J. McCarron, who's mediocre in college. It's incredible what Cincinnati has been able to do. They are the deepest and most complete team in the league. My Super Bowl prediction before this year started was Baltimore and Green Bay. I loved both those teams. Baltimore, the injury bug, just lit them up. They had no shot from the get-go because they were so injured. Once they lost Steve Smith, I knew it was over. He was their only viable weapon. And even when they lost Steve Smith, they were still a one-win, two-win team. And that he was lost in week 5-6. Green Bay, on the other hand, let's get to that. If you watched that game last night, and I tweeted this out, you can follow me at AJ Brault. I tweeted this out after the game. It's not the fact that Green Bay lost the game that made me upset. The thing that irritated me as a Packer fan was they had so many opportunities to win that game, and they just couldn't do it. They were playing the Vikings. It's not like they were playing Arizona. It's not like they were playing Carolina. It was the Vikings. You see them twice a year. Sure, Minnesota's good. I like their team. I really do. I like Teddy Bridgewater more than most. I like Stephon Diggs more than most. Their defense is legit. Their middle linebacker, Hendricks, good Lord. He was everywhere. That's the new breed of linebacker in the NFL. It's a speed linebacker. Someone who can wrap up and tackle well, but can also run a 4.3 40. Minnesota, to me, played well. I think they played good enough to win yesterday. But there were so many times in that game where I felt like Green Bay was going to take that game over, and they just never did. I think that's the story of this year. That, and there's so many injuries up front. They have no line depth on the offensive line at all. They had to move Josh Sitton, I may have cursed there, I apologize if there are young children listening. They had to move Sitton to left tackle. He's never played there before in his life. He did okay. He wasn't bad. But then they had Lane Taylor playing left guard. What? There is no depth. Don Barclay, oh, I think he could. He was terrible last week against Arizona. Why in God's green earth would they give him a shot this week? The frustrating thing, too, yes, we all know the receivers can't get open, but there were a lot of times last night where Rodgers would drop back, and he was hit immediately. And you could see, and this is my opinion. We all know Rodgers is the MVP. He's the best in the league. We all know this. He's great. He's not the MVP this year, to clarify, but he's great. But the thing that would concern me if I'm a Packer fan is some of those throws aren't Aaron Rodgers' throws. Last night, he had Chris Collinsworth for NBC even said it. When Rodgers threw the interception in the end zone with 2 minutes left, he had Jones. If he would have thrown it to the outside, that's a touchdown. He threw it inside. It just seems that not only is he frustrated, we can all see that, and I think that's affecting him. But I think because of the injuries up front, he's rattled. You could see between the ears, he's melted a little bit. He's not confident. And to quote Ron Jaworski, he's seeing ghosts. He's trying to play Superman when really we just need him to be Aaron Rodgers. As a Packer fan and a football fan, we just need Aaron Rodgers. We don't need him to be making all these crazy throws and great plays. Look, Green Bay's defense is keeping them in games. And someone said to me yesterday, well, what about the Arizona game? The Arizona game, the Green Bay offense gave up 3 touchdowns via picks and fumbles. They scored 21 points against themselves. And it doesn't help when your offense gets on the field, goes 3-and-out, and your defense is right back out there and has to hold Arizona or whoever who's running 14-play drives. They're tired by the fourth quarter. But then the fourth quarter, the offense picks it up. There's no urgency with this team. There's no intensity. There's no urgency. Last night, you felt, at least I did, this is for the division title. Granted, you know, they get a more favorable matchup with Washington than having Minnesota come back here, because it's hard to beat someone twice in a row. Even in any sport, it's hard to do. In football, I feel like it's harder to do. So they did get a favorable matchup. But didn't you just feel like Green Bay was going to come out swinging? This is our division. We're at home. This is our time to show everyone that we can all just R-E-L-A-X. It just never happened. There's just no urgency with this team. There's no Rodgers has... Have you seen him smile once this year? There's no fun on this team. It's all frustration. They are having no fun. They're overcompensating. And I think you saw that last week, too. A microcosm of the whole thing. Davante Adams finally caught a ball for like the first time in 12 weeks, it feels like. It was like a 30-yard gain. He got up and spiked it. So we lost half of that. 15-yard penalty. He was so frustrated at himself, and he finally caught a ball and made an impact on the game. He grabbed it, spiked the ball, and ended up costing his team. It wasn't a, yeah, I caught the ball, in your face. This was more of a, yes, finally, I caught the ball. There's something off with this team. And if you think they're going to make a Super Bowl run, guess what? I don't even know if they're going to get past Washington on the road. Washington doesn't have a great defense. So their offense should, keyword, should be able to pick it up a little bit. Because Minnesota's corners last night were either fantastic or our receivers were really struggling. It was one-on-one coverage all day. They had 2 safeties deep. And they basically shut down the middle of the field. Because our receivers couldn't get off the guy. They couldn't create any separation. They literally had maybe 2 or 3 throws that come to memory that were across the middle of the field. Lacy looked okay, but they got down and they didn't use him. He had a lot of runs that were... I will say this. Eddie Lacy's got a lot of criticism this year. Some of it well-deserved. But he was the only one on the offensive side of the ball that looked like they gave a damn last night. The play that comes to mind was, I think it was 4th-and-1 or 3rd-and-1. He was stood up at the line, and then he gave a great second effort and ran to the outside and broke a couple tackles, but it was called back because of a holding call. He was the only one that looked like he cared about winning or losing on that offense last night. Randall Cobb is non-existent. James Jones only plays against the Vikings, apparently. Davante Adams finally looked good last night. Their top weapon on offense right now is Richard Rodgers, who's mediocre at best. Quite frankly, when the trade deadline came around, I thought they were going to make a trade. I honestly did. And I know they don't like to give up draft picks, but just something to spice it up. Like a Vernon Davis. Denver got Vernon Davis for cheap. Granted, they haven't used him much. But they got Vernon Davis for like a 6th-round pick. If you're Green Bay, by about week 4, you knew you needed something explosive.
It's just someone to be explosive. I know they don't like to give up draft picks, but a six-round pick for a guy that's proven, multiple-time Pro Bowler, he's been to a Super Bowl, he knows how to get it done. I know this team doesn't want to, you know, waste resources, but man alive. Watching this team recently, it looks like their window is shutting. To win a championship, that window looks to be shutting. You're wasting Aaron Rodgers' best years of his career because you don't want to give up resources. And I've been a Packer fan my entire life. After the Favre thing, I gave my full trust to Ted Thompson because I didn't really know what he was going to do. It's kind of a lose-lose situation for him. But it ended up becoming a win-win. Favre got to play. We got an MVP quarterback, two times, to be exact. I don't want to say there's no chemistry with this team. Because I think there is. I think these guys generally like to be around each other. But you just need, they needed something explosive. And maybe they thought Ty Montgomery was going to be that guy. I thought he was. And if he didn't get hurt, maybe he is the guy that makes a difference. Stretches the field a little bit. Ty Montgomery looked really, really good until his injury. After his injury, he hasn't played. His ankle sprain was so bad that, in fact, he got surgery maybe last week. Thought I read that somewhere. It's just this team has no urgency. Their defense is the best part about this team, and their defense is coming into the season a lot of people thought was their weakness. Their two rookie cornerbacks, Demaryius Randall and Quentin Rollins, my goodness. If they keep progressing upward or trending upward like they are, Green Bay's got the next combination of Al Harris and Charles Woodson back in the day. I mean, those two are good. Good young football players. So, I was thinking about this after the game, too. If the draft started today, what's Green Bay's weakness? They got a Pro Bowl running back who didn't play well this year. Receivers, yeah, they could probably use a little more explosion, but they have so many. Who do you cut? They really like Aberderis. You're not going to cut Montgomery. He's a third-round pick. You're not going to cut him in only his second year. Janice apparently found a home kick returning and on special teams. James Jones, I don't think they re-sign him. I know people really want that to happen. Aaron Rodgers came out and said he wants it. I don't think it's going to happen unless it's another one-year deal. I just can't see them bringing him back. I think they want to get younger and a little more explosive at the wide receiver position. So their receivers would be Nelson, Cobb, Aberderis, Montgomery, and Janice, as of now. You might want to add to that group one more, but who? There's no one in this draft class that I think is going to blow you away. There's no Amari Cooper in this draft, even if he wouldn't last to where Green Bay is going to end up picking. You could go offensive line, but your starters are already kind of set in stone. Bakhtiari, Sitton, Lindsley, Lang, and Bulaga. You just gave Bulaga a big contract. You're not moving him. Tight end. Do you really want to spend a first-round pick on a tight end? I mean, Rob Gronkowski wasn't drafted in the first round. Defensively, maybe some defensive line depth. Your secondary's deep. Right now, the linebacker position concerns me. I don't think they're using Clay Matthews the way they should. And I know they don't really have any options after Barrington went down. But Clay Matthews at the middle linebacker position, there were a couple times last night he just kind of looked lost. And he's been doing it all year. He's a pass rusher at heart. We all know this. He's a defensive end that's undersized. And not to say that he can't play middle linebacker, because he's shown that he can play really well there. In fact, he made the Pro Bowl there. They need more kick. They need a more solid presence at the linebacker position, especially in the middle. You can move Clay Matthews back outside. Barrington will be back last year. I think the injury to Sam Barrington really hurt them more than people realize. They need depth on the offensive line, and they need more depth and an impact player at the linebacker position. Because right now, Clay Matthews needs to be rushing the quarterback. He got to Teddy Bridgewater several times last night, but then he had to drop back in coverage once they figured out, 52 is blitzing. It's a shame. It really is. He should be rushing the quarterback on every single play, or at least as many times as he possibly can. With that said, we're moving on from the NFL. We're going to talk more about the NFL on Friday's special edition playoff pod, where we will look at all the games and determine what's going to happen, make some predictions, all that fun stuff. I want to shame somebody next. I was at the gym this morning, and have you ever been to the gym, and there's that one guy who's bigger? Like, he doesn't look... Okay, let me just explain the story. So I'm at the gym this morning. I haven't been to the gym in a while. I was doing all cardio, so the elliptical, bike, all that fun stuff. I have my headphones, my earbuds in, okay? And they were 75%. Probably not the smartest of me to have so loud, but I had them at 75. This guy, I'm not kidding you, was lifting no more than you or I could lift. 30, 40 pounds. He was grunting very violently, to say the least. I can't do it, otherwise it sounds inappropriate. And he was dropping F-bombs like crazy. F. F. Oh, F me. And then he drops the weights. Hey, guy, I know you're not listening and you have no idea who I am, but please, shut your yapper or don't lift so much. Good Lord. Anyway, that's my shame. So, guy at the gym, you are shamed. Another, my shame of the week. My shame of the week goes, in the NFL this is, goes to the media. They had a compilation last night before the Sunday Night Football game of these media members asking these coaches that are on the, quote, hot seat, what do you think will happen if you get fired? Media. Really? First of all, they're hoping they still don't get fired. Second of all, even if they know they're going to get fired, they're not going to talk about it before it comes out publicly. Second of all, what do you think is next? How do they know? They're hoping they keep their current job. They're not worried about what's happening next. Like Chip Kelly. He now can worry about what's happening next. He was fired. That's a valid question for him. That's fair. Like Jim Caldwell yesterday for the Vikings. He said it perfectly. He said, and I quote, "How about you ask me a question that I can actually answer?" Jim Caldwell still may be the Lions coach next year. And they're asking him, what's he going to do when he's fired? Or what happens if he's fired? So media, you are shamed. Now, one more thing before we wrap up today's pod. Saturday, my aunt and uncle, who thank you again so much. I had an absolute blast. Took me to a college basketball game. It was Wisconsin versus Rutgers. I have to say, it is one of the more special environments in, I think, sports in general. And our seats weren't great by any means. They weren't bad. But we were literally in the last row of the stadium. And you could still see everything. I actually kind of enjoyed the tickets. I didn't really care. I was having fun there anyway. But we're in the last row of the entire stadium, third deck. And it's weird because my uncle always gives me crap about how he thinks the NBA is fixed and the NBA, it's all about the money. which I still disagree with, but that's a conversation for a different day. But it's interesting at a college game because I've been to a couple NBA games in my lifetime. You know, there's beer. It's no different than like a Packer game or, you know, a Cub game. Those are the teams I'm a fan of, if you didn't know. When you go to a Heat game, for obviously that's basketball for those that don't know, NBA. It's weird. Like, people are there, but it seems like more of a social event. Like, buddies get together, hey, what's going on? And the game's just kind of in the background. They drink. A lot of stadiums are getting new clubs and stuff, where it's in the American Airlines Arena in Miami. They have, like, this suite / lounge thing. It's kind of like a bar type deal. It's like a club inside the stadium. So the NBA is more like a party where people go, they socialize, the game's just kind of there, except for hardcore fans like myself that actually really dissect what's happening. But it's more of a social, let's grab a beer, let's go to the game, you know, that type of deal. At a college game, I have to tell you, I have never seen so many angry basketball fans in my life. There's no beer. It's all about the basketball. There wasn't a whole lot of socializing. I went with my cousins and my aunt and my uncle. Our section was dead quiet. The game was happening. Everyone was locked in. They weren't focused on, you know, drinking and talking stupid. There were no drunk people there. It was a weird experience from that point of view. But when Wisconsin started struggling, you could hear just the disappointment and the anger excuse me, behind these, and the passion behind these fans. It's a weird experience, and if you ever get a chance to go, you really should, to any college event. Basketball is what I experience. I have yet to experience a football game. Hopefully, next year when the Badgers come to Lambeau, which is basically in my backyard, hopefully I go to that. But it's weird because there are no alcohol sales. And I didn't think it would make that much of a difference. But I'll tell you what, when there's no alcohol involved, people are a lot more zoned in and people care a lot more. Not to say last night at the Packer game there weren't some angry fans. I know a few. If you checked social media at all, you know people were pretty upset. But college basketball, it's one thing to watch on TV, but it's really more enjoyable to be there in the arena. It's just a special experience. And if you ever get the chance to go and check it out, you really should. The Kohl Center was, from intros to, you know, the concessions to the atmosphere, everything about it was just spectacular. I'm so glad I got the opportunity to go. And I'm really thankful, too, because it was really cool. And if you ever get a chance, you really should go. And with that said, I have shamed people. I have ranted about the Packers. I have talked about college basketball. That's all I got for you today. I have a lot more thoughts and feelings, but a lot of these I'm going to talk about on Friday's special edition podcast, where we are going to talk about all of the playoff scenarios, what happens when someone wins, lose, all that fun stuff. We're going to make predictions, Super Bowl predictions, a new and improved one, because I don't think Baltimore and Green Bay are going to make it. I know Baltimore won't. I don't think Green Bay will either. But we'll talk about that all on Friday. Remember, tomorrow is Tuesday. We are going to talk Cubs baseball. The Bricks and Ivy podcast episode 2 will be out tomorrow. I will record that tomorrow morning. It should be out around noon. For those that care. And my apologies about last week. I had a bad sinus infection and a bad ear infection. So I really didn't want to record. And plus my voice didn't sound too great. So that's what happened last week. This week we are back and better than ever. Thank you for listening. Tomorrow, the Bricks and Ivy podcast. Make sure to check that out. You can subscribe to us on iTunes if you haven't already. You can follow me on Twitter @AJBrault. And that's all. You can follow us on Facebook as well. You can also email us at brawltobroadtalk@gmail.com. That's it, guys. Hope you have a wonderful rest of your Monday. Thank you for listening to me rant and rave. We will be back tomorrow with the Bricks and Ivies podcast. Thanks for listening.